Wake up. Wake up. It's a Friday. Big, big. Big Friday.
Wow. That's big.
A big Friday. Big Friday. My Northgate JVs. Damon, look at this.
Oh, I like that.
Look at that. Northgate JVs.
It's got a Cornhusker vibe to it.
Going up against Todd Husak's Menlo squad. And, of course, we got a lot of Niners and Jags to get to. It's a Friday. Let's freaking go.
It is Friday, September 26th. Warm it up, fire it up. It is great to have you back here for a little wake up. Damon Bruce in San Francisco, Larry Kruger in Santa Clara. Larry is down at Levi's, and we are getting you ready for week four. It's been quite a stressful week for 49ers fans. Should we pick up, Larry, with which stage of Bosa grief you're working through right now? I mean, where are you? Are you at denial, anger, bargaining, depression, or acceptance? I think I've worked myself all the way to acceptance here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm there with you. How about grudging acceptance? But yeah, I mean, it's a rough one, man. Nick Bosa is one of the great players out there. Now, I will say this. In reading people's arguments in the past, Damon, about how the three-step drop and getting rid of the ball quickly neutralizes the defensive line and the arguments that have been made over the last few years for not investing so much, you know, money and draft capital in the defensive line because it can be so easily neutralized by quarterbacks, and if quarterbacks don't want to give you a chance to sack the quarterback, they can literally just get it out super quick, and you could have all this money tied up in tackles and ends that you never get a chance to really utilize. That's one. In reading those arguments, it reminded me that yes, while Nick Bosa is spectacular, right? He's the best run defender at the defensive end spot. He's the best pass rusher. He's fast. He's strong. He's everything. To impact the football game, you don't necessarily have to have the Bentley of defensive ends. You could just have a Carl Granderson. You could just have a Kayvon Thibodeau. You could just have a Mo Kamara off somebody's practice squad. We'll get to some of the options, but I'm just saying you could just get a representative speed. I mean, then you got to decide what you want, right? Nick's both. He's the speed rusher. He's the run defender, edge setter, power guy. So maybe you want to get a run, you know, edge defender or power guy, and you go for a Cleveland Farrell who gives you that run defender. Or maybe you say, you know what? No, that's not what I want to replace from Nick. I want that incredible edge speed that him and Huff have put together in this first couple of weeks. And maybe you spend a little bit more draft capital and go for somebody like a Will McDonald from the Jets, who's a really good edge rusher on a bad football team and kind of a poor man's Bryce Huff, and really would continue that theme of spreading out the tackles, making them flare out, giving Mikal Gross-Matos inside a lot of space. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Robert Saleh did make a comment yesterday that they don't want to change everything. So I think they're going to try to plug maybe a Gross-Matos or a Beal in for Bosa and just try to keep everybody in the same flow that they're in. I don't know if they're just going to ask Mikal to play outside when he's got a good thing going right now where he's doing what he's doing. So I think they're going to try. My guess is, Damon, they're going to go Yetur Gross-Matos outside on first and second down and try to give him, take away a few more of his snaps inside by bringing in another defensive tackle. I mean, that's my guess.
I think, Sam Aquinu is obviously, next
month is going to get a lot. Yeah,
he's going to get a lot. I think he's going to be thrown in there because you want to have, Gross-Matos maybe back inside for the NASCAR look that he's now, I guess, a part of if he wasn't before. it just, you know, it sucks. And I was talking about this yesterday with Bitesh, and I if nothing, Larry, I'm consistent, right? I hope that I'm consistent. I hope if I sound like I got an idea on a Monday, it'll still be part of the show on a Friday. And, you know, we were talking about how 49ers fans and their faith, their faithfulness gets rattled easily sometimes in the middle of a game where they're winning it. There's been a lot of rattled faithful this week with the Bosa injury. And I'll tell you, this is a time where if your faith gets a little rattled, I don't blame you. Like, don't worry about that third quarter drop. That's not a time to reevaluate where this season is going. But you lose a player like Nick Bosa. Look, Larry, I still think the 49ers are going to have a really good year. I think that they're about to be a playoff team. I do. I think that they're going to get better as the year goes along here somehow, some way. And maybe they're interesting enough to where we say they're playing a brand of football that doesn't even make you miss Nick Bosa very much. But there's a long way to go between now and then, if that even shows up. The way that I felt the Lions could not reach a Super Bowl potential that they had when they lost Adrian Hutchinson, I mean, I feel a little bit about that, about the, you know, no matter where you had the Niners season ending, doesn't it now, by just Bosa's absence, have to come in one notch under that?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is you can spin it any way you want, right? I mean, there's no doubt it's a blow. He's one of the best players in football, and you lost him. So as great as he is when you have him, that's as great as the loss is when you don't have him. So it's a major loss for sure. But I don't think it takes them out of the running to do great things.
Right. I mean,
I really don't. I mean, I'm giving an example. I predicted Niners Chargers in Super Bowl 60. Well, guess what, Damon? If that happens, that's going to happen, and maybe the premier matchup of that Super Bowl on the line of scrimmage would have been Nick Bosa against Rashawn Slater.
Neither dude's
there. And
they're
both out for the year. So
right.
Do these teams wither, or do these teams persevere? I think, you know, Green Bay won a Super Bowl under Aaron Rodgers with Mike McCarthy once upon a time. It wasn't that long ago, where they had like 22 guys on season-ending IR.
So, Larry, I had a guy in the bargaining phase of his Nick Bosa grief tell me, you know, like, hey, 2011 Packers, they won it without Woodson and Donald Driver. You know, he was like, the Eagles, without Wentz having his best year, they won it. I'm old enough to remember Jeff Hostetler coming in for Phil Sims. You know, like, it can happen, but those are outlying data points. It's not the new truth. You know, that's,
well, I mean, it depends what they do too, Damon. I mean, if they don't do it, if they say, hey, you know what, we're leaning on Bradley Beal and Travis Gibson, and we are not looking at anybody else, then there's probably one level they can get to. Though I do like Travis Gibson. He's had a 7.5 sack season. I just talked to him in the locker room the other day, and he's ready. I mean, he's absolutely healthy and ready, and he's eager to help, and he had a great preseason. And we're talking about a guy who's, you know, in his physical prime. Right. We're not talking about an old guy or some guy who can't do it. This guy can do it. And he's about 265 pounds. So, I mean, he's standing right there. Now, they promoted Beal off the practice squad and not Gibson.
I mean, I'd love to see Beal actually do something given an opportunity. He hasn't exactly, you know, impressed really in any moment of his career. It'd be great if he shows up and does something.
He's a great special teamer, but I mean, it's just, you know,
right.
It's, you know, he's 6'4", 260, runs in the 4.4s, and for whatever reason, hasn't been able to sack the quarterback. So
how about this, Larry? I mean, I think you agree. You can't wait around looking for perfect fit. You just got to go with whatever you got. And as this team looks to solve the Bosa problem in-house by committee, can Nick Martin be a little bit of a duplicate, you know, stand up edge? I mean, like you said, you don't want to change who you are. You don't want to go to a 3-4. You don't want to say, hey, kid, guess what? You're an outside linebacker now. You're a stand up defensive end. It's not who he is. It's not what he was drafted to do. It would be an unfair ask. But just looking for in-house solutions, can Nick Martin get to the quarterback? Can you fire him off the edge in a wide line?
Yeah,
I mean, he's going to be outsized, outgunned, outmanned, but try it. I don't know.
He's an awesome athlete.
I mean,
there's no question about it. If this were the Super Bowl and they had no other options, they would probably look at every possible athlete they have in the building, and I'm sure he would get heavy consideration. But I mean, he's got enough on his plate. He's just trying to learn.
He can't even get out there in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to lean up. I mean, and then also that would be a slap to the guys that do, you know, that like Gibson and Beal, who this is their position. This is their job. You're going to promote some stacked linebacker who's 220 pounds over these guys who are 260. And
hey, again, and just Gibson's looking for ideas. Almost a
10 sack season to his credit. So, I mean, it's like, I think you look internally for a few weeks, you see what it looks like. And then, you know, the numbers say that Robert Saleh, you know, he's blitzed this year 21% of the time. And that was with Nick. And I would expect that number to go up to the mid 30s, you know, without Nick. And so he'll have to mix in a few more blitzes. They're going to have to find some outside rush. And there are three options, or you know, you've got four options, I guess. You have the internal options, which are, as we mentioned, Gibson and Beal. And then you've got the free agent options on the street, and there are not very many of them. I think Carl Lawson might be the best of them. Then you've got practice squad poaching options, and there's a couple good ones there. And then you've got trade options, and there's a bunch of them there, but it's early. And we're not quite in the trade season. The trade deadline, I believe, is the first week of November. If you called teams now, they'd be pretty insulted unless they initiate the call. Now, if you call, you know, you could check on things now, but it's got to be more like, hey, if you guys fall out of it, as opposed to trade us Carl Granderson, you know, right now, Saints. Now, maybe teams are that, you know, realistic.
If calling the Saints, I want to talk about Cam Jordan. Let's not mess around, right?
Well, I think Granderson is probably the better fit. Granderson is a speed rush. I mean, it depends what you're looking for, right? Cam Jordan's 290 pounds. He's a defensive tackle who's now playing defensive end. He's more of a 3-4 defensive end, I think, at this point, like a 5 technique, than he is like a true bend the edge 4-3 defensive end. I mean, I watched him on the binoculars in the Saints game, and I thought he looked decent, but nothing special. While Granderson, on the other hand, has got a motor. He's in his prime. He's closer to 260. He's
what's the thing? If I'm New Orleans, he's not for sale.
I mean, I think
Jordan might be.
Yeah, I think they're both for sale, to be honest. I mean, well, but not right now. I mean, you know, both for sale before November. But I mean, there's other teams, the Dolphins, the Dolphins have Jalen Phillips, the Dolphins have Bradley Chubb.
Larry, as I'm looking around the league, like, you know, just viable options, what could happen, and just knowing that the 49ers always like to, you know, return to an old idea, might I suggest the solution might be Arden Key in Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, that's Matt Barrows threw that out, that name out.
Did he?
I mean, if the Niners, who have gone back to so many guys, you know, Kendrick Bourne, Malik Turner, I mean, guys that they've had before, they've brought back time and time again. It seems to be a continuous theme. If that can stays as the theme, I would say look for Arden Key and Cleveland Farrell to potentially come back. But I think that they're going to look for more than that. Excuse me. I think they're going to look for guys that are a little bit more special than that.
What you need to do if you're a 49er fan is start rooting against Jackson Dart, because maybe the Giants got a little something to blow up. Dart comes in here, starts winning a couple games. They ain't going to blow that up. So yeah, you're rooting against the Dolphins. You're rooting against the Saints. You're rooting against the Titans. You're rooting against the New York Giants in terms of just teams who might turn around and look to be sellers here.
Well, the big one is the Bengals. The big one is Trey Hendrickson, Damon. Of course, everybody's talking about Trey Hendrickson, and you know, I mean, it's a very interesting conversation on a lot of fronts. Okay, here's what I think is interesting about this. One, Bengals really didn't come to an agreement with him. Two, so that he's got a 1-year contract. He's a free agent, so they're probably not going to be able to sign him long term.
He's not in their future plans. That is obvious.
Yeah. So I mean, they've replaced him with Shamar Stewart and others, and so he's available and they're going to sell. So I would imagine he's going to be on the move. Now there's going to be other bidders, you would think, but he is a high priced item. He is 30. He's going to be, I think, 31 in December. But the thing about him that makes him so special is that his motor is off the chain. So it's like, you know he's going to play super hard. That's been the problem when bringing in guys from other teams, is that their culture is might be that they play, you know, three quarter speed, and that's not going to fly here. So he's got a culture where the fire burns and his motor really revs.
His culture rises. His personality rises above his team's culture.
Oh, he's awesome. I mean, in some ways you could argue he's better than Bosa. He's been more productive the last 2 years. I mean, by a pretty wide margin.
Well, and it feels like he's got less talent around him taking the heat off of him too. I mean, he wins his one-on-one. He gets to the quarterback, and in just the pressure, it's a sack.
He's a badass.
He is.
So then that makes the next point kind of mysterious. There have been more than a couple people, and one being Daniel Jeremiah with Guy Haberman, who suggested that his price tag would be like a third round pick and a day two pick or day three pick. I mean, that's just a freaking no brainer, you know. I'd sweeten that off. If that was the actual offer, I'd be like, you know what? I'll even beat that to get this done, sooner rather than later.
I'll give you a second rounder this year and a third rounder next year.
Yeah, I mean, something like that, I think, would be totally fine. And that's two day two picks. Now, granted, you know, Tim Kawakami also kind of outlined in SF Standard, like kind of a three-tiered system of, you know, do the Niners make the playoffs? Does he re-sign? Blah, blah, blah. All these things where the price would go up or down. If you could work something like that out, that would even be better, where you got protection if you walked at the end of the year in free agency. But, you know, I wouldn't want to give away a second round pick next year for a guy who is going to walk at the end of the year. So I do understand that. He's a great player.
I don't think he would show up in San Francisco and immediately start being like, well, where else can I go? I mean, this is, if you are a Cincinnati Bengal and you live in the chaos of that dysfunctional organization and you come to San Francisco, it's got to feel like you finally sat down for a real home cooked dinner made by somebody who knows what they're doing. So
that's amazing. I mean, that would be an amazing acquisition, Damon. I mean, that would literally be like the Trent Williams trade or the CMC trade.
It would be a monster
all over again. John Lynch has popularized the midseason trade probably as much as any general manager with the way he's kind of gone about things. But
how about this, Larry? Forget about the second rounder in next year's draft or the third rounder in next year's draft. Let's say the 49ers officially get through whatever Brock Purdy's going through right now. And 2 weeks from now, it is, we'll give you a third rounder and Mac Jones for Trey Hendrickson.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what's more valuable? I mean, look how valuable Mac Jones has already been. I it's funny. I was going to talk to you about that later on when we talk about Mac Jones. I think the Niners ought to consider approaching Mac Jones with a contract extension and lock him in, because I mean, look at the vibe that they have right now. Purdy and Mac get along. Mac's like rooting for Purdy to get back in there. Mac is a leader. He's got a little swagger. The Niners have an interest in having good play at the quarterback position. I mean, the one thing, if you said, why are the Niners 3-0? I would say definitely on the short list is the play of Mac Jones and Brock Purdy.
He's been fantastic.
Those two guys have played three games combined. A very good quarterback play, and that's one of the main reasons the Niners are undefeated.
I mean, it's some decent tackling and what feels like maybe less than glorious defensive moments. They get the job done more than anything. By the way, too, it just, not to go back to Nick Bosa, I don't want all of our thoughts to return to the absence of Nick Bosa, but how do you fill this absence? Let me tell you how you fill this absence. Put some points on the fucking board, dude. I mean, like, this offense now has more responsibility to get to 30 each and every week than it does stalling out in the 20s now that Nick Bosa is gone. And look, this is one of the things that I'm most looking forward to this week. We need to talk about who should even be starting at quarterback. But beyond that conversation, Larry, I'm excited to see what DeMarcus Robinson does to just open up this offense. The heat that he takes off of Pearsall, how successful can he be with Pearsall now being, you know, I think maybe the first name that every defensive coordinator is circling outside of Christian McCaffrey in terms of who we got to worry about today because we're playing the 49ers. This is going to be an interesting, let's see how much the offense opens up with one more weapon out there running patterns in DeMarcus Robinson. I'm really interested in that. But before we get there, Larry, we need to thank everyone for being here. We need to thank our viewers on both of our channels. We need to thank our subscribers. We need to thank our members. Thank you so much for supporting us. It means the world to the both of us across both channels. If you could hit like and subscribe, that would mean an awful lot. And, you know, lunch is coming up a little bit later on today. Check out Ike's Delicious Sandwiches, many locations, hopefully one near you. Think about Ike's Catering for your office, for your family barbecue, for the next Niner game you're going to be watching with your friends. It is a delicious option out there. And Larry, we're officially approaching, not this Saturday, next Saturday, Dubliner, West Portal, 420. Hope everyone can join us on Saturday, October 4th for a little meetup at the Dubliner West Portal. Hopefully you and Kev can even make it, Larry. It would be great to see the both of you guys there if you can make it. And we would love everyone who is in the Bay Area in San Francisco to come on out next Saturday at the Dubliner, 420. Easy time to remember for everyone. And if you want to show up with a little pig in a pickle, that's cool. You can do that.
Of course, the Krug Show brought to you by Pig at a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They could have a third location coming soon. Nothing to officially announce, but rumors are out and about. But thanks to Pig at a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Also, 49er football season this year on the Krug Show is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper Picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry and Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. The link's in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. And thanks also to Clawdaddy Arcades, who sent the Krug Show to New Orleans for week two. We had a phenomenal time still bouncing back from New Orleans. Thank you, Clawdaddy Arcades. Check them out. It's got a brand new location in Capitola Mall that's open today.
Larry, if I'm the 49ers and I got a choice between the two, I think I'm going with Mac Jones. I mean, you want your starting quarterback back, but the fact that the next game is a short turnaround and a Thursday nighter and a much bigger game than this game, because it's a division game against the Rams. I would love to see Mac Jones buy Brock Purdy another 4 or 5 days of rest and rehab on that toe here if he can go this weekend. If I'm the Niners, I want Mac Jones to play this game. Do you think they're going to go with Mac or Purdy? It sounds like leaning Purdy.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the heck to think on this one. I mean, Shanahan on one hand went on KBR's like, yep, Brock's looking good. He's looking good. He's getting close to playing. But then I heard Brock at the presser. He just doesn't sound like he's playing. And so, Damon, I'm going to go against the grain here.
You're starting Mordecai.
Yes. I'm going with Steve Bono. I said go with Druckenmiller. No. The Druck's got a howitzer. Remember that one? Steve Young, where have you gone? Joe Montana, where have you gone? No, but I think they're in a great situation. You got two quarterbacks that can play. Everybody has told me that because Brock has taken the first rep in a lot of these drills, I had Lombardi explaining this to me. I mean, it's hilarious. It's like I have all these people explaining things to me. I know what I'm watching. I don't need to have it explained to me. But I've had people explain that that first rep means that the guy's starting. And I know that generally is the rule. But, you know, my eyes, I've been at practice all week, and I feel like I know a little something about what I'm watching. And what I see is Brock Purdy's still moving on a toe that looks tender. Now, I don't think it looks painful, but a big part of his value proposition is his escapability. One of the best things that Brock has is his ability. I mean, he needed it in week one to run away from the pass rush and scoot out of the pocket. And he's got really, really quick feet. If he doesn't have that because of the toe, he's not the same guy. And so you got to remember that. I just think he looks tender. Now, Mac could be under tremendous pain, but to me, Mac looks the exact same. He's got a knee brace on. He looks the exact same. His passes look the exact same.
Right. He's been practicing that brace all week. They put it on him in the middle of that game, and he was like, it was making me a little uncomfortable. Well, yeah, if you start a game without a brace on, then you put it on, probably does change the way you feel. So
I think Purdy's been high with his passes because I don't think he's getting that foot down with the same speed. And so I think he's left a number of passes up high, and now he's trying to kind of compensate by trying to, you know, release it lower. But he's still kind of playing around the pain from what I can see. Now, you know, I've been wrong before. I'm just one guy. I'm not sitting here trying to be like, I know more than the Niners, or I know more than, I'm not saying that. And if Kyle says he's ready and looks great and he looks better than Mac, then, right, you know, take Kyle's word over mine for sure.
But, hey, you know, one of the best things I ever heard, when a guy is healthy, Andrew Brandt told me this years ago, when in doubt, the player plays.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is also, I think Brock is a super competitor, and the fact that Max won a couple games has made his toe, Brock's pain threshold go up for what he can stomach, because he probably can't stomach watching Mac win another game.
I would just say, hey, man, this is literally the insurance that we bought. Mac Jones is on this team to sell quarterbacking insurance. The policy is paying off great. This is exactly what we would want. And here's the thing. You don't want to take it too far. You don't want to spend too much time at the dentist's office looking your gift horse in the mouth. I think asking Mac for more than 4 or 5 weeks of good quarterback play might be an ask too much. But this is a team that comes from his hometown. It's a team that he has some institutional knowledge of, although they've changed quite a bit with, you know, new everything. I would let Mac Jones go this week. And this is not a referendum on who Purdy is at all. It's this makes Purdy as healthy as possible for the Thursday nighter against the Rams next week. And I am, how about this, Larry? I'm willing to tell you, I don't give a shit how this game goes, if you can tell me that I can get the best out of Brock next week with 4 or 5 more days of rest. I will sacrifice this game against Jacksonville to double down on my chances to beat the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd sacrifice the game.
Well, here's the thing. You're not saying this one, you're punting on it. You got a competitive chance. You know, I believe in Mac. I would start Mac Jones. I would. Yeah,
I would too. I would too. And I know that goes against the grain, but that's, but not only that, I think Shanahan agrees with me. I think he's going to see the same thing that I see. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I see it. Now, the talk is that Purdy is going to start because he's been taking the number one rep. And once again, I've tweeted this out. I said, I don't have any inside sources, but it just, to me, Purdy still moves like a quarterback with a sore toe. And Mac, to me, is in very good rhythm. He's on a 2-game winning streak. Purdy looks less than 100%. It's a long freaking year.
Right.
And I think Shanahan needs to protect Purdy from himself. I would never question Brock Purdy's desire to be out there. He wants to be out there. But like the way he was talking about it yesterday, you know, at the presser, also makes me think that he's not going to go. Cause he's like, well, it wasn't like I'm going, it was like, yeah, if this and if that, and it's like, I just think they're going to go with Jones. And I would go with Jones because why not? You know, look at it this way. If Jones plays and the knee pain gets worse, okay, Are you in a bad spot? Not really, because Brock got another week of rest, and he probably can start Thursday against the Rams, and away you go, and Jones has got time to heal. If Brock comes back and plays before he's ready and hurts that toe and is going to be out 6 or 7 weeks,
right?
Now your number in Vegas changes, your odds of the Super Bowl change, your chances of going to the Super Bowl go way down, because you're almost guaranteed that if you're going to go, you're going to go as some wild card on the road through some hellacious NFC grind of a playoff run. So, you know, I mean, it's the whole season wrapped up in it. So I think it's a very important decision. I don't think I know it comes across as very like, hey, they're both playing well, just anything is fine. But I actually really don't think anything is fine. I think if you go to Brock and he gets hurt, I think your season starts to
There are so few NFL games. By that alone, they're all important. This is the least important game on the 49ers schedule. This game is meaningless to the overall arc of how this year is going to go. And I got Khalil Young here saying, Damon, I completely disagree. This is a very important game. We play the Rams and Bucks on the road next. First of all, there are no road games for the 49ers. The Niners are at home no matter what stadium they're in. They travel better than Kentucky basketball. So the Niners are never on the road. Not really. Rams and Bucks, that's a division game. That's a conference game. Both of those games are worth twice the weight of this game. This is an.
It's not like, you know, going with one quarterback over another is not going for it. The Niners are going to put out a representative effort,
right,
to win these games, no matter who the quarterback is.
But dude, some games mean more than others, which means some games mean less than others. To the overall arc of how this year ends, this is the least important game on the schedule. It really is.
And I mean, it really depends. Any game can be important if you lose a player, so you just don't know when that's going to happen. And also, you just never know when you're going to have a breakthrough. Some player is going to show the staff something that all of a sudden really clicks. So there's all kinds of factors here, but I know what you're saying. It's not a division game. It's not a conference game. It's an early season game. You're 3-0. I get it. But there's this thing called momentum. Momentum is a tricky thing. And right now the 49ers, despite all the injuries, have momentum. If they lose this game, now you're going to feel the weight of the injury loss. And the momentum goes against you with tough games to play. So I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I'll say this. The more I look at this game, the more I really fear this matchup. And here's why. Because Jacksonville with Liam Cohn is really running the ball well. And Shanahan made that point that the one thing that Cohn does well is his teams run the ball. They ran the ball in Tampa, and they're running the ball this year. They're running the ball with guys that didn't have success running the ball before. They got Bashal Tootin, and they've got Trevor Etienne. You've got a couple, you know, or is it Travis Etienne?
Yes.
Travis Etienne. You've got a couple backs there that have speed. They're really running the ball well. So they're running it well. And then Brian Thomas Jr. is not broken out. He's having a terrible year, but everybody knows that he could break out at any point. Hunter is an incredible talent. It's going to be very difficult to cover, even though he's raw. Trevor Lawrence has a big arm and major talent and can look good in any singular performance. So it's about how much rush do you have. Now you don't have Nick Bosa. And then you look at a Jaguars team. If you say, what's the key stat on defense that you look for, to tell you it's a great defense, to me it's takeaways.
Turnover.
And they have 9 takeaways, including 7 picks in 3 games.
They had
9 takeaways all of last season, and now they have 9 in the first 3 games. So I love their edges, right? They got Trayvon Walker and Jordan and Josh Hines,
Allen,
and they got Jordan Lewis from Dallas, and Jordan Lewis is a hell of a player. He runs a little hot, and a lot of people don't think he's the greatest character guy, but this guy is playing nickel for them. He's fantastic.
Well, and Ola Toon can play too. The guy's just a tackling machine. Eric Armstead, by the way, is on this defense now. So you're going to say hi to him for the first time in a long time. Meanwhile, yeah, the 49ers.
Yeah, this is a good team. It's a good defense with a first year defensive coordinator that is getting it out of them.
Look, so yeah, I'm worried about their defensive ends. But this is a team that the 49ers should also be able to overcome. I do think that they can win this game. What I'm most interested in seeing is, again, not making mistakes against the Jacksonville defense that is making other teams make mistakes. And what's really interesting is what Travis Hunter is going to do in this game. Travis Hunter is listed as a wide receiver, but he's playing more and more defense each and every week here. He played 10% of the defensive snaps in week one, 60% in week two, 68% in week three. So will it be even more for him? I think Travis Hunter, the corner, is better than Travis Hunter, the wide receiver. He's only got 10 catches for 76 yards, no touchdowns. It's funny, he has none of their interceptions. They lead the NFL in interceptions with 7. He's a good player, though. And I honestly haven't seen much of him since he was at Colorado. So I'm very interested in seeing Travis Hunter, not just what he looks like, but how he's used.
That's the thing. I mean, and everybody's got a different thought on this thing. I mean, he's got the Shohei Ohtani of football. So far, he's played 121 offensive snaps. That's 59% of the offensive snaps. And he's played 92 defensive snaps. That's 47%. Of the defensive snaps. He's been targeted 16 times. He has 10 receptions. He's only had one start in 3 games. I mean, everybody's got a different idea on this. It's funny. I was listening to Tim Ryan on KMBR on the Football Hour driving to practice yesterday. And he was like, the people I've talked to said that he should be an offensive player. I kind of view him like I would look at him as I would treat him as Deion. I would treat him exactly the way you would treat Deion. Which is he's a terrific corner who can play the ball kind of like a receiver. And he's got, I think I would try to coach him up there and play him there. And then use him the way the Niners and Dallas used Deion on offense. Just like throw him in on a couple, three wide receiver routes to run off the coverage and take a couple shots down the field to him. That's how I would use him. I would definitely not use him.
Right.
Like and the minute, full-time the minute wide receiver. Nothing. I mean, you have right. Brian, why would you want to throw the ball to Travis Hunter when you have Brian Thomas?
The minute he is, by the way, Mac Jones has thrown more touchdown passes to him than Trevor Lawrence has. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't done anything this year, so it's early and you don't want to see him get going, but this whole thing of like, it sounds almost like a marketing thing. It's like, I understand he can play safety or can play corner and he can play receiver and that's unique. And so people want to see, and he wants to do both. And he's this great, smart kid too. But I mean, some of the people think he's not tough enough to play defense, but I would say I would use him as a corner and then try to work him in like 2-3 plays a half as a receiver, because this is pro football. You're to make it as a receiver, you have to have a level of dedication to your craft that goes well beyond anything you ever experienced in college. So you're going to need to take all of that dual, offense, defense energy and throw it all into something. And I would especially on this Jaguar team, you have Brian Thomas, put this guy at corner.
Well, and who's got more homework after they leave college than when they're in college? I mean, think of what this guy has to go through each and every night and what the ask is to play both ways.
He's like a 4.0 student, too.
Yeah, he's a
blue chipper.
Do you want to know why, Larry, I think they're trying to make this wide receiver thing happen? Again, when in doubt, go see what Warren Sharp's saying about something. Warren Sharp, he said that first of all, quarterbacks catch heat, even when their wide receivers aren't catching footballs. And that is why maybe they're trying to make this Travis Hunter thing happen to wide receiver. If you think Trevor Lawrence looks bad, writes Warren Sharp, you got no idea, because out of 270 qualifying quarterbacks since 2020, Jaguars receivers through week 3 have the number one highest drop rate, the number one highest rate of total receiver error, And 32% of all of Lawrence's incompletions are wide receiver drops.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Brian Thomas last year caught 10 touchdowns. He looked like one of the best young receivers in football. This year, and I talked to a guy from Jacksonville earlier this week, and I was like, man, Brian Thomas is one of the best receivers in football. And he's like, well, he was last year. He's like, this year he hasn't been at all like that. And him and Lawrence have not been on the same page. Now, that's what I'm saying, Damon. This guy is an enormous talent, and he's going to have double-digit touchdowns. Don't have him bust out with some 180 yards, three touchdown performance against you. So, I mean, that's keep him quiet because, yeah, right now he doesn't look very good.
by the way,
if you're going to win, he could win this game by himself. I mean, he's that good of a player.
He's got a lot of talent. He really does. By the way, a buddy of mine, you know how someone will bring up an observation, then once they tell it to you, you can't help but see it everywhere you look. Or someone will bring up a song and you haven't thought of it for a while, and then you can't stop thinking about it. So last night, when Marvin Harrison Jr. was playing very pedestrian football on that Thursday night game, he looked awful. Like, Twitter's talking about, like, what's wrong with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Why does he look so out of it? This is not right. He is really talented. He's too talented to look like this. And then he has a fourth quarter that gets Arizona back into that game. But a buddy of mine texted me. He says, Marvin Harrison Jr. looks just like the kid whose dad is forcing him to play football. And
there does seem to be some joylessness that going on there. But I don't know if it's because of Kyler or that organization.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. But once my buddy said that, I couldn't help but see that every single time the camera found him. I'm like, he does look like a kid who'd rather be at home playing a video game than his dad's forcing him out here to be at Pop Warner today. And he did kind of give that vibe. It really did. Look, it's going to be fascinating to see what the Jaguars come in here with, if Trevor Lawrence is going to get bailed out by his wide receivers actually making plays for him or not. The other thing that I think is going to be fascinating here is what are the 49ers going to be doing with Christian McCaffrey this week? Because they could not have asked more from him over the first 3 weeks. He leads the NFL in touches. He is touched the ball more times in any three-week span than any 49er in 49ers history. They got to back off of him a little, and I'm guessing maybe this week would be a week to do that. You just cannot keep asking Christian McCaffrey to do this much, and I say that as somebody who is depending on Christian McCaffrey to carry me through a lot of fantasy success here. As a fantasy owner, I should want Christian McCaffrey to touch the ball more. But as someone who covers the 49ers, Larry, he needs to start touching the ball less, and that needs to start happening this week, I think.
Well, I mean, he's a great player. There's no question about that. And, you know, the stat of the week, though, came from Greg Cosell. In his breakdown, and he was talking about how Pooney and Colby have really struggled, and that where he really sees it is in the red zone. And then he pointed out that McCaffrey this year in the red zone, and I brought this up to Kubiak yesterday. Kubiak gave me a look like, damn you. McCaffrey has 13 runs in the red zone this year for 7 yards. That's freaking ugly.
Hey, the 49ers don't have a rushing touchdown yet this season.
They're the only team in pro football that does not.
Only team in football without a rushing touchdown. So you know that they would want to correct that this week. But by the way, while we're crapping on the guard play of the San Francisco 49ers, I'm going to tell you right now, I think that I would much rather have the still trying to figure out who can play here triumvirate of Ben Bartsch, Connor Colby, and Drew Moss than what the Green Bay Packers spent on Aaron Banks. Have you seen this, Larry?
No.
How about the 49ers? You know, everyone talks about they dodged a huge bullet on the Dre Greenlaw deal because Dre Greenlaw can't even get on the field. Well, what's worse? A guy you're paying an awful lot of money to not playing, or the guy you're paying an awful lot of money to playing and playing poorly? That's what the Green Bay Packers have right now with Aaron Banks, who they took off the hands of the 49ers to the tune of $77 million. Well, right now, Aaron Banks is the 73rd graded out of 76 qualifying guards for the Green Bay Packers. He's got a 38.3 overall grade rank and has been awful in Green Bay. So looks like the 49. I would rather have the affordable yet stressful existence of Ben Bartsch, Connor Colby, and Drew Moss than Aaron Banks sucking for $77 million.
Well, I think the lesson in free agency is pay the players who are special and let everybody else walk. I mean, you'd have to have a Quentin Nelson type guard to pay a guard. And
John Hanna.
You know,
Jack Hanna.
Yeah, John Hanna back in the 70s, Mike Munchak or somebody. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's been a few guards over time. Quentin Nelson right now. That's just an awesome player. But yeah, I mean, it's pro football. There's no, the careers are short, everything, you know, people, I mean, the most absurd thing I heard all week was that like this notion that the 49ers have always been playing for 2026. And it's like, come on, man, you got to be kidding me. This is a sport where you're risking paralysis on every snap. You don't even know who's going to be on this football team in December, let alone 2026. Seriously. You show me who's planning for 2026 and I'll show you somebody who's probably not as competitive as they need to be in 2025. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just that. That makes no sense on a Niner team that has Trent Williams, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Christian McCaffrey, all these guys in what you would pretty much say is the twilight of Hall of Fame or borderline Hall of Fame careers. And the Niners are going to be like, yeah, we're going to scrap 25 all in the name of really going for it in 26. I'm sorry, man. I ain't buying that. Now, I'm not saying that you sell out and get rid of all your future draft choices to win in the present.
Right.
Like, you know, but I do think the 49ers are kind of in that spot the Rams were in, Damon, right before the Rams won the Super Bowl, where the Rams were like, Les Snead was like, you know what? We've hit and we've missed on a lot of high picks. Let's invest some capital in some stars. They did that. With Ramsey and Stafford and some, and they got a Super Bowl out of it. So it wouldn't be totally crazy if the Niners did try to, you know, bring in another star, but it seems like they're already kind of star laden. And this idea though, that they're really tucking tail on 25 for 26, I think is just garbage.
Well, here's the thing. We're not at the trade deadline yet. This Bosa injury though, is a little bit of a lie detector test to the franchise. What do you guys really think of yourselves this year? What are you going to do to address the Nick Bosa absence? Because if you really think that you got something that's going to be special this year, you're going to aggressively try to address that absence. Now, if you don't think that you're as good as 3-0 suggests you might be, maybe a little patience and punting on being overly aggressive to address Nick Bosa's absence would be the right thing to do, sort of, you know, the way that I
who are the best players? Who are your best players? Your best players are Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, George Kittle and Nick Bosa. Yeah. And they're all not going to be better in 2 years.
Right. But here's what I really want the 49ers to do. And what I think what 49ers fans need to do to get through this season as with as much mental health as humanly possible. Stop worrying about the destination. I know everyone here is so hyper-focused on a Super Bowl, this is going to be nearly impossible. Stop worrying about the destination. Take this week to week. Try to win every week. And then see where that gets you. And then the Niners do have a level of talent that, hey, with Nick Bosa or not, they're in a football game today, which means they can win it. This league is wide open. The NFC specifically feels wide open. So try to put yourself in position to do something in a wide open conversation. And if you get there, great, go do something. If you don't get there, that would be bad. You know, given the schedule, and someone else other than Nick Bosa is going to have to get hurt along the way for anybody to be like, oh, I understand why they didn't want a playoff team. No, they're still going to be a playoff team, but a playoff team that is really contending for a Super Bowl, I don't know about that anymore, but maybe. So just stop worrying about the finish line on the first lap of the race, you know, and I think the Niners are going to be,
I don't know. There's a lot of different theories on that, Damon. I know what you're saying. Some people feel like, you can talk about your goals too much. Other people feel like you don't talk about your ultimate goals enough. So it's like, ultimately, yeah, I think the most salient point that you made is that, yeah, it's week to week. The players and the coaches and Shanahan, I mean, they're thinking week to week. They're not. Now, the front office has to keep their eye on the future. But everybody else is going week to week.
I think that, you know, just what Thursday night football, just Thursday night football. The Arizona Cardinals didn't show up in the first, second, or third quarter, and the beginning of the fourth was a little bit questionable, too. They weren't even in the game. It was a home game. They had their special uniforms. They painted their field all special, and they were absent. And then all of a sudden, they show up, and they play a football game. And then you can't even find consistency through four quarters of any one game. So to try to say, and in December, here's who we're going to be. I can't tell you who you're going to be in the fourth quarter of a football game. Go ask the Green Bay Packers. Go ask the Green Bay Packers how quickly a game can get away from you. They were dominating Cleveland, and then all of a sudden Cleveland beats the Packers. Aren't the Packers supposed to be one of the best teams? Didn't they just add, Micah Parsons? Didn't the Packers look like one of the best teams in football? And then all of a sudden they lose to the Cleveland fucking Browns. Anything can go wrong for you at any time. Putting four good quarters together in the same game is a hard thing for these teams to do, much less. Well, what do you think you're going to be in December? December might as well be 1,000 years from now. So let's stop worrying about where this team is in December. Win as many games as you can. Maybe make a big trade to replace Nick Bosa. If this team doesn't make a big trade to replace Nick Bosa, well, I guess they didn't think that they were going to win the Super Bowl this year anyway. I mean, that's kind of the way it is. I think they're really, really good. They're really, really good. But without Nick Bosa, it's going to be hard to be as good as you might have been. And that just, it sucks. It sucks. The fatal flaw that was built into the Lions season last year is now built into this season this year, I'm afraid, for the 49ers. It sucks.
But I think you're too much doom and gloom for me at this point. It's week four. They're 3-0.
Right.
They lost Nick Bosa, but guess what? The Chargers, you know, lost Rashawn Slater, and he's a all pro type tackle. So, you know, everybody's going to lose people on the way. And it's a war of attrition, and how you react to it and who you get to replace these guys and how deep you are. I mean, it's the way it's going to go. It's not a perfect deal. So we just have to go on. I do not think the 49ers Super Bowl hopes are done because they lost Nick Bosa. Now, I always thought of Nick Bosa as a true luxury. It's like, yeah, it's awesome that your speed rusher guy also is this incredible run defender and this incredible student of the game, and you know, a guy you can play all kinds of games up front with, and he's really a heady player, and he's smart and everything. It's great, but you don't necessarily need that. It's great. I love it, but you know, Carl Granderson could heat up the edge as well. There are other guys they could get to heat up the edge, and they can go on. And yes, it's not that, you know, I mean, to some degree, Nick Bosa is a luxury item. And I don't know how much longer the Niners will be able to afford him, period. But that's another discussion for the future, and we'll see how he heals off this injury. But, you know, there are other guys out there. I mean, it's a plentiful group. It's not, you didn't lose Trent Williams. You didn't lose Brock Purdy. You know, you lost a defensive end in a league where there's a lot of defensive ends, and there happen to be a lot of defensive ends on bad teams. So, you know, I think you try to get by with what you can for a week or two. Then you start looking at other teams' practice squads. If you find a guy that hits, great. Maybe you don't need to make a trade if you still. I mean, the one thing about this, and I saw the numbers, and here they are for those who are interested. The Niners before Bosa, I mean, this is including the first 3 weeks of the season, through 3 weeks, and that includes obviously two games of Bosa, two and a half games of Bosa, or whatever it is. The Niners were below the league average in pressure rate, sack rate, and total quarterback hits. And then last week against Arizona, the Niner pressure rate dropped from 45% with Bosa on the field to 28% with Bosa not on the field. And if you say, well, what's going to be the reaction of Saleh? In 18, this is a Nick Wagner stat, in 18 games with Bosa or without Bosa, the Niners have blitzed almost 32% of the time, 31.9%. In 97 games with Bosa, Saleh blitzed roughly 20% of the time against opposing quarterbacks. So, you know, I would say right now the Niner blitz rate's about 20-21%, and I would expect it to get to probably around 35%.
Yeah, it'll tick up. Hopefully it's well-timed. Hopefully when they fire that bullet, it gets home. And it happens, and they're making, you know, they're using their blitz not just to threaten the quarterback, but really get to the quarterback. And boy, does the responsibility really increase in the secondary. And again, Nick Sorensen had communication issues. Robert Saleh making sure he's got no communication issues, especially with the blitzes that he's going to be putting on. It's going to be huge for the remainder of this year. And he's the right guy to do it. I do believe in Robert Saleh being the right guy to fix this problem. There's one other problem, though, Larry, that I do want to talk to you about, and I want to share this screen right here because this is a problem that just remains. You know, in a way that they've fixed a bit of their special teams by bringing in Pinheiro for Moody, and that's good. But the biggest special teams problem is where other teams are starting with the football and starting field position. This is a graphic from SF Data Niners. This is average opponent drive start. The Rams and the Carolina Panthers are leading the NFL. They have perfected this new kickoff to where the ball lands in the landing area, and then the receiving team doesn't do much with it. 21.08 yards, 21.65 yards, way ahead of the rest of the league. Look who is all the way at the bottom here. Brant Boyer brought in to make sure this shit didn't exist anymore. This is terrible kickoff coverage. This is the worst team in football adapting to the new kickoff rules and system, and this needs to change. The 49ers' average starting field position for their opponents is 33.80 yard line. The team's starting at the 33 all the time now, the 49ers. The Niners have got to improve this.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking about it. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, yes, the 49ers are giving up. What you're looking at there is the 49ers are giving up the worst starting field position in the league.
We're going to talk hidden yardage.
Almost 34 yard line.
This hidden yardage right here.
They're 28th in the NFL in special teams DVOA. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, they've got Eddie Pinheiro, and we will be making the Eddie DeNiro shirts on the Krug Show shop, so you'll be able to buy those. But you know what? I mean, it's like, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's like, it doesn't seem like it matters who the special teams coordinator is. They're horrible on special teams.
Right. This is, it's a choice almost to be this bad. It's inexplicable. Well, I mean,
a lot of it's penalties, but the coverage units have not been good. I like what I've seen from Sky Moore in that he can take a big hit and he seemingly has enough strength to hold on. So I'm okay with Sky Moore as a return guy. I obviously like Eddie, the punter, the holder. I mean, I'm fine with all that, but I mean, come on, you know, ultimately it's the results and the results are not there. So I don't know what,
you know, Mike Silver's book about Shanahan and the why is the everything, where it's basically it's chapter after chapter of a man who is obsessed with preparation and detail. the fact that the 49ers let this detail just completely escape them for like 9 years in a row under Kyle Shanahan now. 9 years in a row. The detail of you are getting annihilated by your own special teams. It doesn't seem to be a detail that concerns Kyle Shanahan. And for such a detail-oriented coach, it's nuts, isn't it? It's nuts.
I don't think you can say they haven't really addressed it. They have addressed it. They've gone with three different coordinators. All of their moves of the offseason were somehow related to special teams. They've made a number of special teams related roster decisions this summer. I don't know. I can't grade out what they should or shouldn't be doing. All I can say is that the results have not been good.
They've not been good. Larry, the other bit of news this week, I guess we kind of need to talk about is, Lynch on KNBR said that George Kittle could be back in time for the Tampa game coming off the IR. That would be good. It'd be good to get George back in here. In the meantime, liking what we're seeing out of Tungus and Luke Farrell. And then Brandon Ayuk, who, again, in the middle of the offseason, we, you know, got that Matt Maiocco story. He might be ready week one. And both of us were like, get the fuck out of here. There's no way that's – and now it's – guess who's nowhere even close to that week six? Just like we told you, on the day he tore his ACL, you'll see Brandon Ayuk maybe around Thanksgiving, maybe even closer to Christmas. It's – why do people mess around with timelines? Why? What the hell?
Well, and first of all, that's just human nature. The guy's hurt. When's he coming back is always going to be the obvious optimism question. But I mean, who was carrying water for who to say it was, what was the advantage in putting out there that he could be back in week one? He was hurt in week seven. The average ACL rehab is about a year. It was more than an ACL. It was an ACL, MCL, meniscus. It was like three things torn in there. So it was always going to be more than a year. I'll say this right now. Do not bring this guy back this year. Do not. Because if he's nowhere close to returning now, that means he's probably not going to be ready to return until November. I think it's at that point that everybody's got such an advantage on you as far as where you're at compared to them. I think it just screams of a recurrence. Unless everything just goes absolutely perfect and he's just looking amazing, I put away this year and say, hey, Brandon, for you, let's move this to 26.
I mean, I don't think I'm stowing the entire year, but let's just stop with this. Like, oh,
not? I mean, miracle. The season's only 17 weeks long. You're already at week, it's week four. Now he's nowhere near. If he's nowhere near, that means he's not practicing. He's going to have to practice for 3 or 4 weeks, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Nowhere near. I mean, he's got at least a month still, month more.
But people are making it seem like
more months of the football season. So I don't know.
Damon, there's a lot going on here. There are people that believe that the 49ers don't want to play him and that they're putting up a timeline that, would get him right on the field right before the trade deadline. Are they going to try to, they never liked the contract. They don't need the player anymore. I know people would say, oh, of course they need him. They need every good player. Yeah, but no, not really. They have replaced him already with Ricky Pearsall, DeMarcus Robinson, Juwan Jennings, Jordan Watkins.
How would these guys look together? Like together out there?
There is some speculation that maybe the Niners never wanted the Ayuk and that they'll trade him.
Then they should
get him healthy and trade him. He's not tradable without proving that he's healthy.
Right.
See, that's the thing. It is interesting that, it's like you could bring him back 2-3 weeks before the trade deadline, showcase him and move him. I'm not saying I would do it, but there are people out there speculating that that's exactly what their plan is. And we'll see if that comes to fruition or not. That seems very aggressive, but I definitely think there's some buyer's remorse from the organization side on that contract. And I don't know that Brandon's going to be here long term, but who knows? Maybe I'm reading that wrong. I have no sources, by the way.
It doesn't seem like a lot of kumbaya, you know, defines this relationship anymore. That's for sure. Larry, we are over an hour into the show. We want to say thanks, everyone, for being here for a Friday wake up. Krug and I will be back on Monday morning, 9 a.m. with a Monday wake up after the 49ers play the Jacksonville Jaguars. We will be back on each and every morning after the 49ers play, which means next Friday, a week from today, we're going to be doing post game on a Friday, because after the Jags are here, it is Rams and Niners on Thursday Night Football next week. Big primetime window all to themselves. And again, that's the big game. I would kind of coach around this week to get to next week as healthy as possible, which is why I would start Mac Jones this week, and I wouldn't overuse Christian McCaffrey this week. Again, not that you're sacrificing games, but I would make very careful choices this week, because the price of poker goes up the following week, big time. So, you know, hey, it's an opportunity to win. Chance to go 4-0. 4-0 teams, playoff odds go through the frickin' roof. So, good luck, 49ers. Coach is going to be on their best this week.
One angle that we have not hit on this game I thought was an interesting soundbite yesterday, and I don't know if we could play the soundbite, but Robert Saleh says the Jaguars offense has been sign stealing. He says it's legal. He says Liam Cohen and his staff coming from Minnesota, they got legally a really advanced signal stealing system where they always find a way to put themselves in an advantageous situation. They do a great job of it. We have to be great with our signals, be great with our communication to combat some of those tells that we might give on the field. So,
you know,
the old saying, if you're not trying, you know,
you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Right. But here's the deal. What I do know for a fact is that you guys have a walkie talkie that goes right into the quarterback's ear. So I don't want to hear jack shit about anyone stealing your signs. Why are you even using signs? You have communication. So, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, seriously, you guys have, you're using walkie-talkies. You're all talking to each other. How is anyone stealing signs? What are you talking
about? Obviously, there are signs. Here is Saleh. Let's play this, actually, real quick. We'll play this because we've referenced it. Let's just play this. Here it is.
Look at it this way. If you got it from NFL Network, don't play it because they'll flag us. If you recorded this, play it.
Here we go. It's Coach Yak.
By the way, I did for a coach accusing another team of stealing signs, this got no play this week.
You know, Jacksonville, this is a very young, but it's a very talented group. You know, Liam and his staff coming from a couple of guys coming from Minnesota, you know, they've got a legally really advanced signal stealing type system where they always find a way to put themselves in an advantageous situation. They do a great job with it. They formation you to try to find any nugget they can. So we've got to be great with our signals, and we got to be great with our communication, and to combat some of the tells that we might give on the field. So they're almost elite in that regard. That whole entire tree, from Sean to Kevin O'Connell to all those guys, they all do it. So so there's challenges. They're going to catch us in some situations where they have the advantage, and we just got to play good, sound, fundamental football, and do our best to execute them.
Follow-up question here, Coach Saleh. If legal sign stealing operations are allowed, where's yours?
On the defensive line in the games, like specifically in games.
No, I think they do a good job communicating with one another. You know, Chris does a great job managing those guys and making sure that everyone's on the same page at all times. So, from a communication standpoint, we expect it to still be very good.
All right, there you go. A little bit of Robert Saleh.
Again, if it's legal to steal signs, where's the Niners' legal sign stealing operation? They should have an entire department that is dedicated. It should be called the Connor Stallions. This is how Michigan wins national championships department. You should bring in one of the premier sign stealers in the history of college football to run this department. If legal sign stealing is kosher, where's your deli?
Well, first of all, he's never going to say that. And I'm sure all teams are doing this. When I worked in the Canadian League, we had three guys in our booth that were on our staff who would basically focus on, we knew their entire staff, the other team's entire staff and where they were. And we would, you know, get on the binoculars and bird dog from up top. And we had guys who read lips. We had guys who knew football, guys who knew their signs. And literally we would decode the other team's signs probably by the middle of the first half. So it's not, you know, it's
right. Everyone's always bird dogging other guys' sidelines.
The eye in the sky don't lie, as they say. All right. Let's hit some supers here.
Let's do it.
And by the way, hold on just a second here. Our supers brought to you by our good friends at Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. I'm a big fan of Omar and Tarek Habas. Thank you to the Habas Law Firm for sponsoring the Krug Show. These are great guys. I mean, first of all, my dad was a lawyer. My brother's a lawyer. My sister's a lawyer. I wouldn't partner with anybody just for the heck of it. Today's show, sponsored by Habas Law. For more than 40 years, Omar and Tarek have been doing great work in the Bay Area. If you need someone in your corner, call the firm. The insurance companies hope you never call Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Their website is habaslaw.com, HABBASlaw.com, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Great attorneys. Thanks to them for sponsoring the Krug Show. And let's go to the supers. Wyatt Oftenberg, with Wilkes being the DC for the Jets, do you think he wants Jair Brown and a pick for McDonald? I think that would have game changing. That would be game changing. I know the Niners really like Jair Brown. I know people say, oh, no, they don't because they have all these other guys, but no, I think they really do. Jair Brown is manning a pretty important role for them. I don't think they're going to trade Jair Brown. I don't. But I do think the Jets would be a team that would make a lot of sense.
I think the 49ers defense is playing too well to go trading anybody right now.
Yeah, I just don't think, and I think they really do like him. Fuji Simeon says, RIP Joe Betts, owner of the House of Prime Rib and devoted 49er fan. The team does well for him. What is the plan to contain Travis Etienne? I mean, you have D Winters and Fred Warner playing at a crazy pace and a ridiculous level. So I feel really good because they're both healthy and flying around, especially Winters and Joe Betts. A little clap for Joe Betts.
The guy,
Prime Rib is
an empire,
San Francisco institution.
You know what he loved, Larry?
It's unbelievable.
You know what he loved? He loved KNBR. And when I hosted Sports Phone, he would listen all the time because, like everyone in the restaurant business, you're leaving the restaurant at 10, 11 o'clock at night. He would be listening to, you know, Giants games or me hosting Sports Phone. And when I would walk in there at times and he talked to me, he treated me like a king in there. He was such a great guy.
It's such an amazing place, too. I mean, I was there with my wife for dinner about maybe a year ago. And we're just having this wonderful dinner, a couple cocktails, incredible Caesar salad, big old
thick. It's not a Caesar, Larry. It's their own House of Prime Rib salad, not a Caesar salad. It's their house salad. The secret, by the way, beets. That's the you're like, what is
this? We had a Caesar, Damon. I'm not sure.
No, you want the original House of Prime Rib salad.
There were no beets in my salad. I would know a beet when I know a beet. It's funny. Beets are a friend of mine.
Did they do the whole table side preparation and all that?
They did. And not only that, at the next table, Gary St. Jean.
Hey!
He came over. Said hi to my wife. Very nice embrace. Met his wife, met his family, his kids.
He's like, you should try Lenardi's.
Oh, man. Gary St. Jean. Gary St. Jean, one of my favorites.
All right. One of the ultimate nice guys in the history of sports. Like,
and if you're not, and Hassel Prime Rib, by the way, I mean, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of Pig in a Pickle, but if you're in the city, Hassel Prime Rib is a San Francisco institution. You have to go there, check it out.
Look at it this way. If your choice is, where do we get to go? We can only go to one. Alcatraz or House of Prime Rib? Go to House of Prime Rib.
Go to House of Prime Rib. Get a big, thick
piece King of cut, Larry. Rib. There's only two words. You look at the server, you say, King cut, please.
King cut.
King cut.
Baked potato. I gotta get back there, man. I gotta get back there. King cut,
baked potato, all the fixings, cream spinach. And if you really want to be an insider, if you want to be a local, you want to show everyone, I'm no tourist. You tell them to take your King cut prime rib and you ask them to sear it. Instead of just cutting it, putting it on your plate and serving it, they'll bring it back to the kitchen. They'll kiss it on the grill. They'll sear it. And that is the best.
All right. All right. Look at that. We've gotten House of Prime Rib insider data.
Information.
Joseph Ernberg says, never go to House of Prime Rib. No, he says, people surprised about Brandon Ayuk's progress are idiots. Yeah, seriously. If you really thought Ayuk was coming back like right now, you don't know injuries.
You mean the guy whose knees disintegrated isn't coming back quickly? It's like, oh, what a shock.
He's coming back soon. Why? Because we need him. No, that's not how it works. Spokane 509ers fan. This is my family's first game at Levi's. We're coming into town and wondering who we're going to see at quarterback. What's the vibe? The vibe is Brock Purdy. But I'm telling you, my eyes tell me, as somebody who's been to practice, that Brock Purdy is still, that toe is still barking. And I think they're going to stay with the hot hand. I think they're going to go with, Mac 10.
How about this? There's no way in the world, just because he's a Niner, and there's no such thing as and he was healthier after the game than when he started it. Since that doesn't exist for the 49, here's what's going to happen. They're going to play Brock Purdy. Brock is going to do something to re-injure the toe. And you're going to be worried about him practicing on a short week ahead of the Rams. That sounds stupid to me. Go with Mac Jones, rest Brock for another 5 days and have him take the shot at the Rams, the game that matters 10 times more than this Jaguars game.
Yeah, I don't even know about that one either. We'll have to see. I'm just saying Brock Purdy to me doesn't look 100%.
He will re-aggravate his turf toe variant, and you don't want that happening before a short week.
How you play your hand of cards here, I think, could really impact the season. MSQ, thoughts on media picking Jags and this three-game stretch? Well, I mean, I get it. I do get it. Jacksonville has got nothing to lose. They come in playing pretty well. The Niners just lost Nick Bosa. The Niners pass rush is going to take a big hit without Bosa. I'm looking at the ESPN prediction here. They say Trevor Lawrence has been sacked on only 2.5% of his dropbacks this season. It's the second lowest rate among quarterbacks. So they're probably not going to be able to put much pressure on him. Can they stop the two-headed monster of in the backfield? And then can Brian Thomas not get, not go off and get loose against the Niners? I think this sets up to be, not a trap game, because I think the Niners are emotionally going to show up. I just think that Jacksonville has a lot of speed on offense, and they've got two really good defensive ends, and they're taking the ball away. And I'll say this. I think turnovers define this game. If the Niners win the turnover battle, they win this game by 10. If the Niners are even, they win this game close. If the Niners are -1, -2, they lose this game. That's how I see it.
It's a pretty easy bet to make in any football game. It's hard to win a game and lose a turnover battle.
Yeah, -1. I mean, that's
survivable.
That's survivable. But I could see the turnovers coming because Jacksonville's getting them. Joseph Ernberg, they aren't in it this season. No move will be made.
Again, they're undefeated. But
Ernberg. That's Ernberg.
That's our guy. Look at it this way. I appreciate consistency.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. beautiful sunny day. He's like, hey, I see storm clouds forming. You better get your umbrella.
I agree with this, though. DeMartinez 949. It is now or never for Bradley Beal Jr. Bradley Beal Jr., here it is, dude.
Beal is a basketball player. You're talking about the Robert Beal.
Bobby Beal, not Bradley. I call him Bobby. He doesn't deserve to be called Robert yet.
He's got killer cleats. He's got those cool Jordans. If he could just sack the quarterback. Thomas Norton, what's CJ West status? Was fire in camp. He's out this week. He hasn't practiced.
Broke his thumb, right?
Yeah, he may be. I mean, he hasn't practiced. Broke his thumb. There was talk that he would cast it and play this week. We'll see. He hasn't
Bradley
been out
Beal.
Yet.
By the way, Warriors Media Day is Monday. Speaking of Bradley Beal, Larry.
What's going to happen with Kuminga?
I don't even care anymore.
I mean, I care because it's like they can't do anything else until they move him. They got like a whole offseason of moves they're going to pack into one day.
I've never seen a team jam up its entire offseason over one guy who doesn't start, and ultimately it just is the notion of a promise maybe. Like
this is what I would do if I were the Warriors on that front. Trade him to Sacramento for Malik Monk and a first-round pick, then hawk Malik Monk to like a team like Miami and maybe take like – because they don't like Malik Monk for whatever reason. I like Malik Monk. I'd keep Malik Monk, but the Warriors don't like Malik Monk, and supposedly you're going to try to spin him. And if you could spin him to Chicago in a deal for Giddy, that's the deal I would try to make. Or if I could spin him to Miami for Jaime Jaquez and Davion Mitchell, maybe I would do that as well. But if I could move him in a deal to Chicago for Giddy, that's the move I'm trying to make.
Look at Black Matt. Damon, you're an idiot. Don't even know the I said Bradley Beal instead of Robert Beal. I was so far away. What an uncommon, clearly something wrong with me. You're not the asshole here mistake.
I don't even know if we'll ever stream again. Anthony Catania, start Mac. Give Purdy the start Thursday night, primetime against the Lambs. Let's effing go.
I think it's the right thing to do.
And we should tell you, Anthony Catania is brought to you by Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles, a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. Anthony's at 831-521-5264. Great follow on the gram, Sharp Corners 831 on the gram, as the kids like to say. Anthony, good to hear from you this morning. We've got this one from PWS. Damon proving this is the ultimate trap game. LOL. Bill Kennedy, how about trade Ayuk for a top defensive end? Oh, that would make too much sense.
Yeah.
Sheridan Milestone. No team has won a Super Bowl with Nick Bosa playing, so losing him, their odds actually go up. Teams with Nick are 0-2. Teams without Nick are 59-0.
It's, you know, you can't argue with those numbers. That just it makes too much sense.
Yeah. Bill Wennington is one of the most dominant centers of all time because of the rings, right?
So teams that are in the Super Bowl without Nick Bosa always win the Super Bowl, which means there's never a losing team in a Super Bowl. Like that doesn't map out the way he wanted it to.
It sounds like somebody who saw one of Grant's tweets and then try to turn it into a super chat over here. Fuji Simeon 13. See, nothing gets by me. I wonder how does Sala feel about taking questions from the Bay Area media versus the New York media? Granted, in New York, he has to take questions about Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's so funny that he would bring this up, Fuji, because I was actually thinking there's no way in hell that Robert Sala would have brought up Liam Cohen and the cheating scandal in New York. And by the way, there's your benefit from being on the West Coast. You know, there's your East Coast bias. He says that Thursday on a late West Coast media conference that didn't play until already after they've already made all their plans on the East Coast. People are eating dinner back East when he said that. And it didn't register. We'll see if it registers today on the NFL Network or on the pregame shows. But that is a pretty big thing to talk about. If he had done that as the coach of the Jets, that is leading freaking SportsCenter.
Seriously, like I didn't even hear about it until you brought it up. That's how lame our media is here in the Bay Area. By the way, this is what I was saying. I want to pop this up real quick. 49ers Red Zone saying every team that has ever won the Super Bowl did it without Nick Bosa. So there you, that's true too.
That was Grant's tweet.
Did somebody try to pilfer from someone to sound clever? Nothing is lamer in social media than that.
Yes, that was Grant's tweet. Speaking of the CFL, Larry, your take and thoughts on the new rule change, goalpost move to the end zone, shortening the field, 35-second play clock. I don't really have strong feelings other than I like the shortening of the play clock because it does pick up the pace of the game.
Uh-oh. Larry just straight up vanished. Did you see that? I saw that. I don't know what happened. That happened so extremely. I wonder if he just lost power. There we go. Did Levi Stadium just lose power, Larry? What happened?
I don't know what happened. I think I just, I fat fingered it and,
Hey now.
Oh, that's other than that, I really can't explain it. I mean, there's all right. No, well,
good to have you back. I thought I was going to be wrapping up here by myself.
Wait a second here. Now I've lost my spot in line. It's now or never for Beal. We got that. West. Okay. We got that.
It was Fuji Simeon. Speaking of the CFL, Larry, your thought on the CFL.
There it is. Okay. Thank you, Simeon. Fuji Simeon. Slow Civic. Why is Damon such a tool? It's annoying, Larry.
The only thing I can tell you, Slow Civic, is you're just the type of idiot that I am here to help. Pay attention. And thank you. Thank you for giving a super chat to insult me. Thank you, you idiot.
Come on. Let's treat everybody with reverence and respect. Fuji Simeon, Larry, once the stream ends, Amy, Kev, make reservations for House of Prime Rib. LOL. I think when Goodell was in San Francisco, he went to the House of Prime Rib.
By the way, there won't be a harder table to get than House of Prime Rib Super Bowl week in San Francisco, right?
Oh, my God. I love that place. Last time I went there, I got my wife nice and good and wasted. I mean, she was really trashed. And it was a good time. Slow Civic, Damon, God, come on, Slow Civic.
Look at it this way. You are the Honda Civic of chatters. You really are, Slow Civic. They're special, and then there's just another car on the highway. That's all you are.
Can you pronounce this guy's name?
What's it? Unsluls? Unsluls?
Dr. U is in the house. He said, trade Ayuk for Hugh
Jarkson.
Oh gosh, people. Harold McAllister, Larry, was it you that said West Side during one of the player interviews about Mac 10? That was funny. No, it wasn't me. I'm not that clever. I'm not that quick. Slow Civic. Damon is an airhead. Nothing there but honor.
Keep it coming.
Slow Civic is dropping some major cash to rip Damon.
Keep it coming.
All right. That is going to do it for us. Thanks to Habas Law for that beautiful, beautiful segment of super chats. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Great law firm. Really proud to have Habas Law Firm as one of the sponsors of the Krug Show. Damon, final thought before we bolt for the door.
You know, this is a game that the Niners should have on their dance card. I mean, they should have this game ready to win. But at the same time, I don't want them to overuse Christian McCaffrey. I don't want to see Brock Purdy play this week in name of what's coming up next week. So it'll be interesting to see what the Niners actually throw at the Jacksonville Jaguars here. I have less of a good feeling about this week because I don't know who's playing, but I actually think no matter who's playing, the Niners can win this game. So this is just a take care of business weekend. This is a beatable team. This is a beatable team. You're at home. Take care of business. Put the Nick Bosa thing behind you. Let's see what DeMarcus Robinson does to help really open up this offense. Let's see what he and Ricky Pearsall do to complement each other as targets. Brian Robinson Jr., get worked into that mix. More Tungus. Let's see what that looks like. and Sam Aquinu. What do you got? What can you be filling in for Nick Bosa? Those are big shoes to fill, man. Let's see if you can do it. So it'll be really interesting, but don't go busting yourself in half to win this week when next week is much more important.
I have only one thing and one thing to say. Kyle, if you're watching, the only advice I can give you, Mac Jones.